happened, man. And welcome to the Rondo. We're back again. Another crazy week in the PL. Do you know what I mean? All right, on today's show, we're going to start off with Newcastle versus Arsenal. A lot of talking points in that. A crazy game indeed. Then we're going to talk about Doku. An amazing performance from him as City start looking really good again. Typical of them, but there we go. Then we're going to talk about projects versus immediate success. Which ways should clubs go in football? And then we're going to finish off with underrated pieces of skill. So it's your boy AA hosting, as usual. I got my guy.
What are you talking about?
What, you just said you got my guy?
Yeah, I was looking at you, though. I was looking at you.
Jalen's here as well. You know what I mean?
And my guy.
Marcus.
There we go. Cool. Let's start with Newcastle versus Arsenal. Cool. Marcus, you done texting there? You got...
I'm not texting, I'm just looking at Liverpool.
Okay, say nothing. So, he's focused on the show. Don't worry, guys. We're fully locked in for you. So yeah, let's start off with Newcastle Arsenal. So Arsenal lost 1-0.
Bums.
Unlucky there, mate.
I guess the invincible repeat is over.
Never happening.
quite a tight game, to be honest. Feel like it could have gone either way. No. Draw was probably... What did you say?
If anyone was more likely to win, it was going to be Newcastle.
I feel so, yeah. I feel so, slightly more towards Newcastle. I think they had the better chances.
I think they had the better chances.
Well, they won in the end. So there we go. So I guess first thoughts is on the game, Jalen. What were your general thoughts on the game?
It reminded me of an old school type of Barclays clash, you know, two very physically dominant teams both going up against each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
Teams of an equal level, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could say so. I mean, both teams had, you know, players out. I think the attacks on both sides were not really operating at a great level. And at the end of the day, it was two of the best defences in the league kind of coming up against each other and kind of, you know, seeing that battle unfold was entertaining in some ways, but it was very dire in other ways as well. You know, the attacking side of the games, chances were very few far in between. It was a nothing game, man. In all honesty, it was very similar to the Man City game that we played. Obviously, we stole that one. We lost this one. These things kind of happen, innit? So,
a bit of a scrap.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of Arsenal fans that have kind of said, you know, how good does it feel to, you know, not be bullied away from home and da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know what? That's all good and well, but
you lost.
I want to win, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I know obviously that puts you in a position to win the game, but Arsenal identity is not that. If we go back to the Invincibles, yeah, cool. They were physically very good. They could compete against, you know, the strongest of sides, but there was still that flair. There was still that elegance going forward. And
they were technically excellent.
Yeah, this team right now is not operating that way going forward. It's concerning, but at the same time, I do feel like it's something that won't continue for the entirety of the season.
What would change?
Players coming back is the only thing really that you can say. And you hope that will make a difference. As I was saying,
you played this season with lineups. You haven't had Partey much.
We have played
this season with pretty much, and we don't know if Partey is someone that you can really plan with.
Let me start with Thomas Partey. I don't even know if I want to look at this camera. I don't know who I want to look at, but Thomas Partey. You see, you need to just go. You need to go. You need to take yourself. You need to go to Saudi, wherever it is, because I'm tired.
You want him to leave?
We can't even manage Thomas Partey's minutes. Yeah, because. He can get injured in training at any point. Majority of his injuries, they're muscle injuries, and they come in training. So even if you do manage his minutes during the games, he still gets injured. Six weeks. Again, we sent a doctor to Ghana. He played his two games. He came back. He didn't even make it back for the first game. And I feel like until he is gone, Arteta's plan A, for some reason, is still based around this guy playing number six. Because he is the only guy in our squad that can play number six like that. Declan Rice, in my opinion, was the Partey replacement. But it seems as if that has not been something that has been put in place fully because he didn't go and buy a left centre mid. He did, but he just bought the wrong one, didn't it? So
you think Partey needs to go? You don't.
It's borderline arrogance and almost stupidity from Arteta to base his plans around a player that he knew was injury prone, and Arsenal fans knew was injury prone. Last season is not fooling anybody. Partey still got injured last season, but historically he's been an injury prone player. So. to base the team's plan A around that. And I feel like, and the reason that I say it's borderline arrogance is because I feel like Arteta thought he could get away this season with playing Declan Rice as a number 8, playing Partey as a 6, and having Odegaard obviously as the other midfielder.
Could that have not been a strong midfield?
It would have been. But again, the reason I say arrogance is because that's him assuming that he's going to have more than one season at this football club if he doesn't win anything. Because Thomas Partey is coming to the team.
Is that his plan A? The first 2 games of the season.
I feel like that was his plan A, because as I said to you before, even though Thomas Partey was playing right back in that game, Gabriel was always going to come back into the team at some point. I feel like there was a little bit of politics going on behind the scenes. Obviously, he was linked with that Saudi move. That's why he didn't play the first couple of games. But I always feel like he would have pivoted towards that, because there can be no logical reason for Kai Havertz coming in and being your starting number 8 option. And if that is...
65 million is a lot.
If that is...
And a healthy wage package.
If that is, then that's a big problem.
Isn't he like in the top three most paid players?
Yes, he is, yeah.
That's a big problem.
So I don't know if you can... Yeah, I don't know if you can say that Havertz wasn't...
Clearly, Havertz was in his plan
A. I don't think that was his plan A. But as I said, we don't know what Arteta's plan A was.
295,000 pounds a week.
I saw a stat before that said, I think last season, Arsenal had the least unique lineups. Like, so we basically had the most consistent lineup throughout anyone in the league. The second team was Newcastle. And if you look at the stats, I think both teams were the highest like overperformers based on like where people expected them to be before the season. So we can't ignore the fact that consistency is obviously a big thing. Obviously, these Arsenal players that have come in, 100%, they're going to need time. But the only way that we're going to be able to find consistency is if Arteta finds an 11 that he trusts. He finds a system or certain relationships on the pitch and chemistries between them start to develop.
You don't think that's there yet?
It's not there. Every single you compare it to this season, the first 11 games, we haven't named an unchanged lineup in any game. Like, there's not been one lineup that we've played more than once. So every single 11 has been different.
That's a big
problem. So if that continues happening, yeah, I know his hands have kind of been forced with the injuries, but like decisions such as to play Jorginho as a 6, to me,
he's very persistent about this as well.
He's very persistent about it, but it's very confusing to me because you just spent 100 mil on a 6 that was supposed to be the replacement.
But do you know if he sees Rice as a 6, though?
Maybe Ishmael's right.
If he does see him as the 8, then it's confusing to me.
You don't think Rice should play
Absolutely
8?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
Fair enough. All right, cool.
Who do you think should play 8?
If it was me right now, I'd have Rice, Vieira and Odegaard.
What has Vieira done to deserve
I've seen more.
Not a lot.
I think. At all. Well, we'll go back to what I was saying earlier. But I just feel like if you look at what Xhaka was doing going forward last season, part of the reason that he was dangerous was because when he did get to the byline or when he was in areas on the left hand side, he did still have this ability to find people on a cutback or find people from across. And part of that is because he was left footed. If we're playing another guy there right now, you're playing Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz doesn't have the range of passes to be dangerous from these deeper areas or be dangerous from the left-hand side of the pitch or in the half space. I don't know what he's good at. We literally spent 65 million on Marouane Fellaini, bro. Like, the only time he's been good this season is literally, we played the ball forward long to him. Jamie Carragher highlighted it on Sky Sports and said, oh, I'm happy because, you know, Arsenal found a way to get back into the game. They played long to Havertz. He won headers. Is that the only thing he's good at? Winning headers. We could have got that from a number 9 that was 2 in the air. And then also got everything else. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So,
to be fair, calling him Fellaini in midfield is a pretty good comparison.
Right now, on the ball, bro, like, Kai Havertz to me, well, when I originally thought that he was coming to the club, yeah, I thought he was going to be this guy that was playing in between the lines, you know, combinations. He's going to link up with this guy, that guy. He's going to roam into this area. People told me that he was going to be better than Granit Xhaka at finding space in the box.
Really?
At finding space in the box. Yeah. Which, okay, to be fair, enough. he does find the space, but what's the point of finding the space if when the ball drops to you, you ain't going to be able to do anything with it? What's the point?
But to be fair, he was one of your better players. I'm not going to lie.
Better
Newcastle.
Players doing what, though?
Against Newcastle.
Like, don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
As I said, in terms of what his role has turned into in this Arsenal team, yes, cool. He played well yesterday, or he played all right. He done the job that he was supposed to do. But do I agree with that being his job in this team? Absolutely not. I don't want to see my Arsenal team playing like we got to go away and just dug it out and, you know, just not being able to play on the ball, not being able to create opportunities. I look in this Arsenal side now and I look at Nketiah. He started 9 games out of the 11 games that we started this season. Yeah. That is a big problem to me. Not because I don't hate Eddie Nketiah.
You're going to let this guy breathe.
Listen. Let me ask you lot this year. If Harry Kane was our striker, someone of that level, or say someone like Erling Haaland, I'd be perfectly fine with Nketiah being a backup. Because you know, if Haaland or Kane are fit more time, they're 100% starting. They're 100% going to be around. They're 100% getting you 25 or 30 goals a season.
Yep, yep.
We don't have that. So he can't be that. He can't be the backup, unfortunately. But he's not even a backup right now, though, because he started 9 out of 11 games.
It's not his fault. It's Jesus' fault.
It's not his fault. Yeah,
it's partly his fault as well. But at the end of the day, like, that's what we're left with, innit? So you look at last season. A lot of people think Eddie played well last season, but they forget that he got dropped from the team in February because of this exact reason. The attack wasn't functioning. He got dropped. Trossard came in and suddenly we were playing champagne football again. So it seems like we've come full circle again to the same scenario, but with more problems on top because now the midfield ain't even sorted out.
Okay. So okay, I just need to cut you there. Hey,
I just don't know what to do. Like,
it's all right, man. Fourth in the league. It's not too bad. But anyway, to get to the big point in, big talking point of the game, right?
Go on.
The golden goal. So the golden goal.
The goal that they scored.
The goal.
What do you call it?
Gordon.
Gordon. I think it's a golden goal.
Oh, no. The golden goal. So yeah. Talk to me, bro. I think, well, the big talking point is whether the goal should have stood. Obviously, Arteta's come out and, you know.
He's a shut up.
Listen. Let me say
this. He's put out quite a damn in.
Let me say this, yeah.
First response.
Before this pod episode, yeah, I went through all of the apologies that VAR have sent. There hasn't been that many, but there were three games last season in which two of them, a goal should have been awarded to Arsenal.
Yeah.
One of them, I think, with the Brentford goal. So obviously we dropped points in that game. The third one was actually a Man City goal that was wrongfully given and they won the game 1-0 away at Everton. So if you look at three games, yeah, we know already Man City are not an easy team to beat in this league. Yeah. The margins are very fine. So if Arteta does feel like, you know, there was a mistake, obviously his team has been the team that has been on the wrong end. Statistically, he's been on the wrong end of it the most. He's had the most apologies.
Where's the statistic?
We've had the most apologies, bro.
Doesn't mean
I'm just saying. If we look at it statistically for what's actually being apologized for, okay, he has had the most.
VAR have made many mistakes.
100%, and I agree.
You're not letting me land.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I can understand why the guy feels under pressure and is annoyed because at the end of the day, these little mistakes that he feels like is costing his team. At the end of the day, they do add up against the Man City side because dropping 2 points here. Where Man City then gained that 2 points in another game last season. Yeah, 3 points. But obviously, well, it's one. How many points is it that we would have drawn the game?
So fair.
You know what I mean? So again, it's just I'm looking at it and I can understand why he's frustrated. If we look at the actual decision itself, though.
Yeah.
I think it was a goal.
Oh,
as an Arsenal fan.
Do you think it was a goal?
As an Arsenal fan.
Oh, you're not going to be popular. No. Okay, so let's analyse.
I'm going to go through all three of them. No, but right. I said it was offside. But if you look at the reason as to why they weren't able to draw the lines, as a football fan, I can't complain because they said they couldn't find a frame in which to obviously look at where it was offside. Now, if you look at the replays.
The first time it hits Joe Linton, Gordon's actually onside.
You can see that.
It's the second time which it
But they can't determine the last point at which it hit him. Because of the camera angles. So how can you actually draw the line? Because you don't know where to draw it. You don't know at what point to draw it. So that's the one. I do feel like it was offside. But if they can't find a way to draw it, then...
Fair enough.
Obviously, we're going to come on to another issue. But
all right, cool. So that's the offside.
I don't think it was a foul either. I think Gabriel...
You don't think it was a foul?
I think Gabriel was going to dive for the ball. I think naturally, that's just how two players would have jumped for it if Gabriel does duck under it. Do you get what I'm saying? Where else are you going to put your hands? Are you going to jump like this?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
And in terms of the ball going out, I don't think the ball did go out. I mean, we saw earlier in the season, I think United had a similar situation. Their goal was actually disallowed for something similar. But I don't think the ball was out of play because...
It didn't look like it went
unless
out to
you, me. But my bigger problem...
Hmm? It looked like it was out to me.
No, that's a bird's eye view, trust me.
And this is more my problem.
This whole angles thing.
Yeah, but again...
Depending on the angles, you can make any ball look
like it. And that's my problem with the league right now is like, I look at this VAR decision and I don't necessarily blame the refs. The refs have been at fault for a lot of things this season, yeah. But I'm starting to question now, why are the camera angles wrong in the Premier League? Why do we not have more? Because time and time again, they tell us we didn't have the angle to do this. We didn't have the angle to do that. Simply put, why is there not a camera angle where we can see directly over, you know, or have a bird's eye view of all the touchlines?
We have goal line technology. It's not hard to install that on
the touchlines, my point.
So they just don't do stuff and they create issues for themselves.
And it's not like the Premier League doesn't have money to do this. Like, that should just be standard. If you're finding that over and over again, you do not have the right camera angles to make certain decisions or give the officials, you know, the right angles that they need to make decisions, that's your fault. Do you get it?
Like, literally, I just want to come in there because I saw like a... I think it was ESPN. I don't know if it was ESPN yet. They used their byline technology.
It wasn't ESPN. It was Bein Sports. Bein Sports,
yeah.
But why the hell did Bein Sport have better technology than the Premier League?
And that's the problem, bro. But it's like,
money.
It doesn't matter. But the Premier League can get money to do it, bro. And I feel like...
I think they should also bring in the automated offside as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think that would be good as well.
But even with that, like, how do they determine at what point the ball last hit someone?
On the offside, I'm not sure, but I don't know. When I looked at it, I feel like it didn't look that... It was clear to see the second point of contact on Joe Linton. When I saw the replay, I thought it was pretty obvious. That's what I thought he was offside.
As I said, don't get too silly. I still feel like the actual officials themselves, the people that are controlling the technology, are not good enough. But
yeah,
the actual technology itself and the camera angles that we've got is also still not good enough. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, we're wrong in all departments here. And as the best league in the world, it's not good enough.
So you agree with what Arteta said?
I agree with what he said, but I
think he's being a crybaby.
Yeah, so again, what I don't agree with is him blaming the whole loss on that or saying, oh, my team played so well today. And at the end of the day,
he said you lot should have won.
He said if any team was trying to win the game, it was Arsenal. I don't agree with that. And I feel like, you know, what he's trying to do, he's obviously trying to take the pressure off the players, take the pressure off himself. Yeah, cool, you're trying to do this, you know, us against the world type thing. I hear it, Mourinho done it. You're not Mourinho, bro. Do you get it? Let's relax.
Facts.
Let's go back to the actual issues at hand. You need to get this attack functioning. You need to sort out your midfield. And you need to go and start working on your January transfer targets. Because if we do not sign players in January, we are not getting close to this title.
What players do you need to sign?
Bro, I'm even looking... Do you know what's actually mad, yeah? I know we're not going to sign a goalkeeper in January, but I'm looking at our two keepers right now, yeah? And I understand, cool. Everyone says Arsenal defensively.
Rare on that goal, by the way.
No, but you say Arsenal defensively have got better. And statistically, we have. We don't give away many chances, yeah? But when you have players in your team that give away easy opportunities or make errors, and one of them is your goalkeeper, it doesn't matter how good your defence is, you're going to concede goals. And the problem is that he sacrificed part of our attack in order to make the defensive more solid, the defense more solid, but hasn't cleaned up the fact that we still make individual errors. So if we now go and concede a goal, and we've lost part of our, what happens at that point? How was the team?
Yeah, you can blame Raya for that goal, but I feel like Saliba and the build up to the goal against Wilson, he didn't do his job against.
Gabriel didn't clear the ball. Wyatt didn't go out to press to defend the ball. Of course, the goal is avoidable, but again, I'm just looking at similar patterns from each game.
David Raya's positioning on crosses has been shambolic for a little while, man.
He's just short.
But get yourself sorted. He just keeps on getting easily to his
David Raya is not the level of... He's not the level of like...
So what goalkeeper would you
he's
want?
Not, he's not the level of someone like Alisson. And right now, he's not even in that Edison category where the keepers are a bit safer. Even Tottenham's keeper is safer than him. Right now, the problem is like... We just signed a goalkeeper that was supposed to upgrade on Aaron Ramsdale, and we're having similar problems. That shouldn't be happening.
You understand what the problem is? There's no obvious goalkeeper out there that's gonna.
So we should have kept it the same then, bro. You don't create another problem.
There's no obvious goalkeeper that's gonna compete with Alisson, compete with the likes of who else is there? Really?
But Tottenham found one that's safe. He doesn't make mistakes.
So what they need to do is they have to find someone who they believe is decent enough, who they think can get to that next level.
Do you think he can?
People believe that's what Raya.
You're writing off David Raya already.
It's not writing off, bro. Again, I have. No. Listen. Yeah, we have standards at this football club. Yeah, I don't know what's. Yeah, but me as a fan, I want to believe that my team should be competing with the best teams in the league and have the standards of that. Right. So, I'm not going to accept keepers that are like Wojciech Szczesny from 10 years ago, because that's what Raya reminds me of now. That's what Ramsey. That's what Ramsdale reminds me of. He was a good keeper, but he wasn't them lot. He wasn't them guys.
No, Arsenal. Better when he left and he got older. He was a mess.
He was all right.
I wouldn't trust Szczesny to take me to a title because he has mistakes in it.
Fair enough.
Do you get? I would rather have the safety of a goalkeeper over someone that can play 1,000 passes or whatever. I just need someone that's competent.
I forgot we started late. I'm going to have to cut you off, bro.
Hey, hold on.
We're halfway through.
Before that, just to make it clear, Arsenal cannot win the league title with Raya and goal.
With Raya and goal? No, we can.
Okay,
listen to what I said. That's not the main. Yeah, I was going to go back to my actual targets, but let me actually just give me 1 minute. Yeah, but in terms of targets, again, Carragher said he doesn't feel like we have a 9 to win the title. I think we can win the title with Jesus. I just don't think he's in a position to be relied on anymore because he keeps getting injured, innit? So we need to go sign a striker and we need to go sign a left centre mid. If we don't do one of those, we're not winning the title this season.
The most important roles are the centre mid and the striker. One of them has to be
right now.
Okay. And you think Arteta was just a baby?
Oh, yeah, he's crying, man.
You just think he was just embarrassing?
He lost and he's upset, man. Like, get over it, man.
But then what do you guys feel like needs to happen for there to be change?
Well, we PG more.
Yeah. Do you not think managers need to come out and actually call it out if they think it's wrong?
As I said, I feel like we just need to instill better technology and these problems won't...
But how are you going to force them to do that, though? That's the point.
Like, you got to keep on putting pressure. But I don't think it was... I feel like Tao overdid it. It wasn't crazy bad. I feel like the offside...
It wasn't as bad. Can you imagine if...
There's much worse.
Can you imagine if the Liverpool one happened to him?
Yeah. Oh, he would have lost it. And people getting onto Klopp's reaction.
Klopp didn't even lose it. Klopp was just saying, like...
Needs to do better. Right, yeah. And he said the replay thing. But he was pretty calm. Teta was
head
proper.
Gone. His head was gone.
Teta gets heated. Like, is a disgrace. Yeah, listen to me. Is that's a man, disgrace.
Teta's under pressure right now, man. He can't go a season
without winning. I don't think he's under that much pressure. Like,
he is, because...
Guys, we've got to move on.
You've won how much?
20 minutes in.
8 of your 11 games this season.
He's under pressure, bro.
Doku. City won 6-1 against... Who was it again?
Bournemouth.
Yeah. City won 6-1 against Bournemouth. They battered them. Scored some really good goals.
I actually watched the full 90, and it's funny because a lot of people probably see the 6-1 and say, oh, Man City played well, they're back to form, blah, blah. They didn't really create that much, in all honesty. Doku was obviously a very special, very special performance from him. But if you look at like the first couple goals that he scored.
The assist to Silva. Brilliant, bro.
No, yeah. Very, very good. Very, very good. But if you look at that, like, what was the goal where I think he shot and it came off of Kanji and went in?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Something like that. Like, it's not really, like, they didn't create loads and loads of opportunities. Obviously, they got themselves in front. You know, if you're a big team and you're playing against a small side and you score very early on,
yeah,
naturally the game kind of opens up. So Doku himself, I feel like right now he's in like this mold of wingers where there's not really many others in the league like that approach the way that he plays, isn't it?
He just has the bravery. He just wants to attack.
Attack his fullback. You know, he takes you back to them old school wingers, and it's really refreshing to see, man. A lot of the time we're watching guys like Antony, guys like Sancho. You know what I mean? These guys, they don't take on their fullback. We're watching wingers now playing for the top clubs, coming in for big money, and they don't take on their fullback. I'm watching them full 90. They don't complete a dribble, and it's acceptable.
Are you surprised?
Doku attacks his man.
Are you not surprised though that Pep has given kind of Doku that license to do that? But then when it came to like Sané and Sterling, it seemed like he was kind of phasing those.
Well, Sané used to.
But he started phasing them out.
You need to understand.
I feel like Pep's a weird guy. Like, he gets an idea of how he wants to play, and then everyone just has to follow it.
Like, there's been a transition in the way Man City played from about 2017. At the time, he wanted the wingers of what Sané, Sterling, and he loved that. But then the league started to change a bit. Teams started to adapt to the way they're playing. So he went to a different style of winger. You were seeing more of the Bernardo Silvas, the Fodens on the wing. Those people who are better at ball retention, might not take their man all the time, but can find incisive passes. He's now going another way where he wants these wings again. He wants them to be physically dominant. He wants the PNP. He wants the players to be able to beat their man one-on-one. So I don't think you can hold that against him. He's just going through the motions.
If Pep stays at City, trust me, in a few years when it gets a bit predictable with the direct wingers, he'll just throw Doku to the side and start saying, oh, I want that kind of more indirect wingers.
But how do you stop someone like Doku, though? How do you actually stop
him? But we said the same Arsenal thing about Sané and Sterling.
How did Arsenal do it?
It's a good question, to be fair. We actually done quite well against Doku. But I think in that game, I don't know. I just feel like he was just poor 1v1 in that game, though, because he had a lot of situations where he was actually.
I think when you have a very good defender against Doku, they'll be fine.
Yeah, he's not unstoppable. He's not messy. Yeah,
he's not unstoppable.
I mean, we had Ben White. He's not like the best 1v1 defender.
So, like,
yeah, I mean, he can also have an off game, innit? Yeah, to be fair, because I fancy Doku against Ben White. I'm not going to lie.
What level
is
Doku?
I feel like people fear him a bit too much, though. When your defender fears someone a bit too much, they're probably going to get the better of you.
But you get that through balling, innit?
What level do you think he'll get to, though? Like, what's his ceiling?
See, this is my problem.
Just below world class.
This is my problem with Doku, yeah? I think it was 2 years ago during the Euros. That's the first time I ever saw Doku for Belgium. He came on bit part role. I was about 19. I was like, who's this jinky guy? Like, he keeps getting past his man. He seems very good. Like, he's gonna shoot up and become a world-class player. Since then, he's been going through injuries on injuries on injuries. He's barely had a proper full season. I think he was at
Standard Liège, isn't it?
It's French team, yeah. Rennes. Yeah, he was at Rennes. And he barely played any games. So it was quite a risk for City to sign him. Where I think he's going to get to now, if he stays in the City team, depends on how long he stays in the City team. I think he gets to like Mane level, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I don't see it. He's not
21.
He's like 21.
Yeah, he can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, fairs. I don't know why I just see like a just below world class level for him. But he could be world class.
He's, do you know what?
If I was just to guess.
For him right now, though, he's quite mature in terms of like, yeah, cool, you can beat your man. Like, St. Maximin could beat his man. But when he gets into a position where he's beaten his fullback, he's able to deliver. He's able to pick up someone.
No, he's a good passer. He's a able very to make the right
decision. And he's got a good finish.
Decent
so
finish, yeah.
Yeah, I think his finishing is decent.
He's got a decent finish for where he's at right now. Yeah. And that can therefore progress, you know, levels after levels. So let's see what happens. At the end of the day, we know what Pep's like. He's eventually going to do that thing where he puts him on the bench for like 6 months, even when he plays well. And he'll probably fall off.
That's what I'm saying. So, but I was telling you, man, I don't really like Pep's management of his attacking players, man. You don't really allow stars to come about.
I'm gonna say something interesting about that. Yeah, because... I feel like what Pep does is better for the team in general, though.
Yeah, but we discussed this.
Come on, man. This is entertainment, man. I want to see if you want to go. But this is what I'm saying. He's too into winning and just being a little loser.
Because
I want to see some franchise players, bro.
What happens? Yeah, yes, he stops players becoming okay. These are the star players, world class star players. Yeah, but he gets all of his players to about top class level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas most teams you might have, yes, you have a star, but the person behind them,
yeah, you have
like a massive drop.
You drop, yeah.
Arsenal, if Saka and Martinelli are not firing, right, or not playing on the pitch, Nelson and what?
Trossard, they're nowhere near.
Nowhere near. Whereas top level. If you see City, that drop to their bench is minuscule.
Yeah, it is. But it's boring, man. I want to see some franchise players, man. And I feel like he doesn't allow, like you're talking about, yes, he gets them more to like, let's say a top class level. But you're thinking, guys like Foden, you know what I mean?
Foden scored.
Foden ain't where he's meant to be, man.
You see how sharp that boy is in the box?
Guys like Foden are not where they're meant to be. Even dropping Grealish, this game.
What is where they're meant to be? At the end of Foden's career, he's going to have how many accolades, how many trophies, how many goals, how many stats, bro. That's all he needs for his career.
At the moment, Foden's the worst player than Saka. Now I think Saka's a great player, but Saka was not meant to be better than
Saka doesn't win anything, who cares?
Saka will win something in his career.
He'll win something, bro.
We'll see.
But you're dragging
if
it.
If I was to ask you, you don't think Saka
will ever win something?
No.
If I was to ask you now, though, again, what's the excuse for someone like Foden not to nail down a starting spot when like Doku has come in, obviously kind of proved now that he can get minutes, but Alvarez especially has kind of held down that spot that Foden wanted previously. When Kevin De Bruyne is out, it's not Foden playing in that position, it's Alvarez. And he rarely gets rotated now.
Let me put it this way, something I said on the podcast about a year ago, just plain and simple, yeah, Alvarez is better than Foden. I don't want, what's this discussion?
As what? As overall?
Anything.
As an AM?
As anything.
No, I don't know, man.
I've said this, Alvarez
if he managed Foden better, Alvarez is a better footballer than Foden. We wouldn't even be here.
Yes, Foden's better on the eye, but Alvarez
If he managed Foden properly, we wouldn't even be here.
I don't think it'd be a conversation.
When we talk about the level that we saw from Foden as a young kid.
I feel like we're underrating Alvarez. Even Alvarez.
Yeah, he's a top player.
I even believe Alvarez is limited in this team as well.
I think he is.
Alvarez is older than Foden, isn't it?
He's older than Haaland. He's like 23.
So again, it's like if the right development was given to Foden at the right time and he was just given responsibility and a run of games in that position, surely
he'd be amazing, man.
He'd be better than
that. He had the whole season as a starting player, no?
In what position?
That Champions League run season. He was a starting left winger.
Yeah, but again, left winger though. He's not. If you played Alvarez left wing or right wing for the whole season, you think he holds down that space? It's impossible.
But even that left wing, he still dropped him. He just drops guys, man. Even Sané, he used to rotate Sané a bit. It was weird. And when Sané was playing, there was a time, yeah, just before Sané got the ACL, about like 6 months before that, Sané was playing crazy. Like he was City's like best player. Like when Liverpool would go against City, yeah,
I'm pretty sure
it was Sané.
There was a bit of a disagreement between him and Pep. That's why that happened.
Oh, well, there's always something, man. I don't know what it was, but there's always something. He's weird with his wingers, man.
How come we don't look down on Mahrez then? Mahrez was always rotated. No one like.
Because he'd already won the Prem with Leicester.
He's already kind of achieved his level.
His legacy was written in stone, bro.
Foden had a season where he won the Premier League, got to the Champions League final.
He wasn't
intrinsic to that season. Mahrez won
the PFA.
Yes, he
did.
Well,
there you go, bro.
Is this
Don't say that's it.
Morris was the player that season. Foden ain't had a franchise season.
He has. That's what I'm saying. He has.
No, he wasn't. That was like a young player season. Like, it was a good
2020-2021, is it? Yeah, 2020-2021 season. That's his franchise season, bro.
No. He should have more.
He was the best player in that Champions League.
Even then, he should have more. He should have more. Bro, Foden should be on some Rooney shit.
Do you man think Pep was more important for Messi or Messi was more important for Pep?
Messi would have been who Messi is without Pep.
And would Pep have been Pep without Messi?
I think so.
Do you feel like he kind of gave him that springboard?
No, he would have been a top manager. Would he have been seen in the same, like, would he have won as many trophies at Barcelona? Probably not.
No, but I think he would have eventually won loads. Like, this, what Pep is doing at City.
But deeper though, this Man City one would have been his first Champions League.
Oh, yeah.
And he scammed his way to the Barcelona anyway.
And after seeing Barca's recent charges, you know, the bribery.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, if-buts, maybe. Who knows what's going to happen now?
Yeah,
man.
Fair enough. All right, cool. What's next? Is it Rondo's?
Oh, it is Rondo's. There's no way we're going to... No, hold on. There's no way we're going to gloss over the fact that Liverpool went to Luton and Drew. There's no way,
No,
bro.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Give me a quick couple of minutes, bro.
Yeah, we were flat today. It wasn't good. And I think we've struggled quite a lot.
You sound a bit too calm, brother. It's Luton. Like,
I know.
Speak to me, bro. What's going on?
It weren't good. But I know that my team can turn it on. You know,
so you seem quite positive.
I feel like it was more like a blimp. But still, I feel against five at the back, there's a problem. I can't lie. Five at the back, deep blocks, we still ain't quite figured it out. And the thing is, low-key, across Klopp's tenure at Liverpool, five at the back, deep blocks, we've never been able to. We need to try and get like the underlaps and overlaps pattern because we just look baffled whenever we play five at the back deep block. And Luton, they have some really poor players. And realistically, it was a bit of a weird game. So at the start of the game, had chances, didn't have control though. At the start of the second half, and then we just, it was very bitty. Start of the second half, had control, but didn't really create much clear-cut chances. So there's just no rhythm there. But at the end of the day, thank God we... At least equalise,
Cabrera. Premier League always settles down eventually. I think now that teams have seen that Liverpool are kind of back to where they were and where they should be, again, the approach against you guys is going to be different now. Teams are going to come into those games, they're going to play five at the back, they're going to play deep.
Yeah.
Because they know realistically, if they go toe-to-toe with you, man, or they even try to attack you, they're getting cut open. You know what I mean?
I wish they'd go back to that, man.
And yeah, as you said, I mean, Klopp has never really been able to get his head around kind of breaking down those deep blocks, playing against these teams that have five at the back. Even when, you know, Trent and Robbo were kind of at the heights.
Yeah.
Putting cross after cross into the box.
When Thiago came in.
Thiago's not around anymore. At the end of the day, they haven't got a midfielder like him. So it should be interesting.
He needs to come back.
He's not coming back till like New Year.
But then do you not feel like there needs to be...
You see how he was talking about party before and he was kind of doing it on a this thing? With Thiago, I don't... You see Thiago, people mention him. I'm like, who's that? Like, he ain't a Liverpool player.
He's a distant memory.
Thiago, Fernando Torres, same. Distant memory.
I mean, just last point on that, I just wanted to ask you about, obviously you've had these new midfielders come in and realistically against like these teams that play a bit deeper, there's obviously going to be more responsibility on them. Do you not feel like it's something that they kind of need to improve on as well?
Shouldn't they be better at this as well?
They should be better. Now, I feel like Szoboszlai and McAllister have had bad games today. So you would expect it to be better. They have shown glimpses where they've been a couple of good movements and good passing moves against big teams that we never really had before, but we need to see it more consistently. Gravenberch was actually pretty good today. A couple of good little movements in terms of trying to cut things up, but McAllister and Szoboszlai were offered today, man. I don't know what was going on with them. Szoboszlai was like not that great. And McAllister, he was all over the place, man. Which isn't really like them. So I don't know. They need to sort out.
Good all season.
Huh?
McAllister hasn't been good all season. I feel like
No, he's had good games.
It's a positional problem. I don't think he's been good.
No, he's had good games. But yeah, he's had poor games. I think McAllister's been like this all season. What, last week, who did we play? Who did we play last week at home?
Nottingham Forest.
He was fantastic, McAllister. He's one of the best players on the pitch. But yeah, but he has games where, oh my days, McAllister against Wolves.
Let's not stick on just a team.
Yeah, let's move on. But yeah, just need to try and sort it out because we need to try and go for this title. If we get a 6 in January, I still feel like we can.
So that end of signings, just
Endo's just like for Europa League and EFL and stuff.
He just abuse the fans.
Yeah, he's not really. We need to get a political move. We need to get a proper six because you know there's a lot of good teams in this league. So the second you start dropping points, you know Arsenal dropped points today. I wanted to go ahead of them.
Are you not ahead of us?
We are on goal difference. Oh, forget that, mate. But yeah,
we ain't struggling to attack against no Luton, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
we beat Sheffield United 5-0. We beat
Bournemouth Sheffield 4-0. Are shit, man. They're not even good at defending.
We beat Bournemouth 4-0 as well. Like anytime we play the team that's actually been bad at the bottom of the league, we battered them, bro.
Fair.
You man can't say that.
Fulham,
first.
Every big club will have games where they like this one against Luton. My problem, we got Brentford next week.
That was slightly embarrassing. I can't lie.
Yeah. All right, cool. Project versus we got Project versus immediate success, innit? We're not even gonna have that. We got bare stuff to do. We got Project. All right,
let's go.
I'm gonna discuss what you guys want to do. So we got Rondos, which I think. And then, unless anyone got any good ones. And then we got projects versus immediate success, you know. So I think underrated pieces of skill, we're gonna have to leave that for another week.
And do Rondos first, or
let's see Rondos, yeah.
Any man got good ones?
I wanted to talk about tacticals, man. I'm getting really frustrated with the tactical culture and what it's doing to, you know, fans and the way that we kind of analyze games.
You just understand we've become tacticals. You understand?
We've become them. Okay. And yeah, I'm not proud of it. I mean, it's even affected myself. But you know what? Sometimes football is just really black and white, bro. Like, you can watch a game and you can see that your team has underperformed. I don't want to see EBL or whoever this is telling me that, but we had 80% field tilt. We had, you know, this amount of shots. This person
what does
is.
Field tilt even mean?
Bro, I don't know. But it's getting to the point where it's like, You're waiting to hear what they're saying, and the fan base, you know, runs on whatever they say, and they want to argue with them. I still see EBL saying, Anthony is a good footballer. Oh, it's all good if he's in a possession-based system, ball retention, this. I think EBL even said, what was it that he said that time? Fluid rigidity. Or something. Coming up with names and stuff.
No,
like,
you know what I mean? There's another brother that I hate. What's his name?
All of these tacticals. You guys just.
The guy with the little Pep Guardiola avi, bro, he just. Football, he says stuff that don't make sense.
Wait, hold on. This might be racial, isn't it? But have you ever heard Nigerians speak about football? Like in a public sense, like
Afri- I know he's pro- obviously
proper
from Nigeria,
Af people, yeah. I've heard it before. They don't know anything about ball. Yeah, anything. So why are you listening to all these tactics?
Let me just
say Africans don't know anything about football. Is that
Nigerians, not Africans. Okay, yeah. Nigerians.
You know what Accra is our top
six. I can back that.
It's good. Listen to me. I was in Ghana, first of all. But anyway.
It's Africans.
It's Nigerians, bro.
Oh, you said Nigerians.
Yeah. You need to stop listening to these tacticals, yeah, because they don't have schooling in football. Most of them are not coaches. So any Tom, Dick and Harry give their opinion on football, and we're thinking it's the truth.
But listen, do you know how bad it got?
EBL Nigeria.
Let me say something to you. Do you remember how bad it got, yeah, where in pre-season, when people were doing like their ideal lineups for the season, they were doing it with like, it was like a 3-2-2-3 thing where like the players were already inverted and all of it. And I'm just thinking, brother, we're just fans. Just put your lineup there and that's it. We don't need to be doing all of these tactics and that. We're just fans, bro.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Do you remember the non with the thing guy? I don't know. The guy with the Pep Guardiola avi. Remember when he said like Havertz can be a top player for Arsenal? Because
he said Havertz is our VP, bro. Yeah, Come on, man.
Because of his body
shape. Oh, he's got ball striking. Oh.
Because of his body shape. He said he's like our VP.
He said Rice. This is him. He said Declan Rice. Oh, I love the way his limbs look and all this stuff. He was moving
bro. Yeah. He analyzes their body and their limbs.
The composition.
And then start saying that they'll...
We're going to clip some of these tweets.
You've got to clip some of their tweets. They've had some howlers, bro.
Yeah, I think... And do you know what the worst thing is as well? Just obviously last point in this year is that they really like to hedge kind of both ways. Like they'll give you like a really long thread, yeah, like 30 tweets saying, it'd be like Arsenal versus Chelsea. Here's the breakdown, big thread. And then they'll say, Chelsea do this, but Arsenal do that. And Arsenal have the advantages in this position, but Chelsea could do da 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 da. And it's always like, you're not really telling us anything. You're telling us what both teams do, but you're not telling us who you think is going to win.
Yeah,
just so that after the game, you can come back and say, I said da da da. You see, look at me. No.
A lot of them are awful, man. The only one I like is there's this guy, Premier League panel. He's quite good.
Yeah, Premier League panel's all right.
Yeah,
actually,
Premier League panel's quite good. He has some good points. Every other one that I see on Twitter, chatting.
I just want them to say, sometimes, man. Just be normal people, bro.
Yeah. You're, at the end of the day, you're not coaches, are you?
Yeah, so, man. Just, I mean, but yeah, that's all cool. I have to say.
Any other rondos, yeah?
I got one other one, but.
There's something there about Palmer, but I'm going to see how I'm going to word it.
I want to talk about Mbeumo.
Who?
How do you say his name?
Mbeumo.
I want to talk about Mbeumo.
I think Palmer has been top three signings this season.
Oh, my. How? How's Palmer been top three signings this season? But that doesn't even make sense.
What?
Is that one big enough? This one's bigger, isn't it? Yeah, wear this one still.
And say it again.
Hurry up as well, please. Bro. But like, hey, we're not going to do... We're going to have to do the project team probably next week. You know?
I want to see what's something quick on that.
You reckon?
Hurry up, brother.
Bro, you take it. Why did you leave your cap on? You ain't got a trim, innit?
10 days.
Oh, no, that's not even deep. All right, cool. How the hell is Palmer top three signings this season?
Palmer has been top three signings this season, and your argument against it is probably going to be based on Chelsea's results this season, and Chelsea haven't been very good. But every single time I've watched Palmer play for Chelsea, he's been sensational. Absolutely brilliant. He's picking up passes. He's finding himself in a good position. He's very good on the ball. He's able to beat his man. And I feel like if we're comparing him to other signings this season, so I believe on the show last week, you were talking about Declan Rice, you were talking about Szoboszlai, and who else did you
Madison.
I have Madison as the best signing so far this season.
Okay.
Apart from him, like, I'm...
So you think Palmer's been better
than... Can you tell us why Palmer's been better than those two that you're leaving out right now?
That's Szoboszlai.
I'm right.
How's he been a better signing?
I feel like for his team especially, so for Chelsea, Palmer's coming in, he's our best player. He's immediately our best player. He's taking us to a level where we are able to compete. He's the only person on our team who has vision, who has the ability to find a pass. Mm. He's raised the level of the team, and he's the star of the team. I wouldn't say Szoboszlai has come.
That's so funny. So you guys bought 200 million pound midfielders, but it's Cole Palmer that's your best player and star, man. I thought Enzo was an all-time midfielder.
He is, but what does that have to do with the...
You said vision, you said creative passes, you said this, that, and that, bro.
Focus on the topic, bro.
Go on.
But doesn't mean anything. Just because we spent 100 million on someone doesn't mean a 20 million signing can't be the best signing of the season. Yeah, grounds in that.
But go on. Complete your point.
I don't think Szoboszlai has raised the level of Liverpool. I don't think he's the best player at Liverpool. I think he's been a decent signing. You're going to say Salah.
He's got to come in and try and be better than Salah. You know what I'm saying? Cole Palmer has to come in and try and be better than that wash pivot that you went to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Before Cole Palmer got there,
if we do it based on what Ayo said last week, talking about like players, like how much, like what value are they right now in comparison to how much they were bought for? Yeah, based on how Cole Palmer was playing, how much did you buy him for?
40 mil.
So what do you think he's playing like right now?
He's playing at a better level than Szoboszlai.
If you were to see him play right now for someone else like this, how much would you spend on it?
Given his age and everything, 78 mil.
You see what's
please.
Cole Palmer's been.
Please watch Palmer. Please,
I've watched him. He's been very good.
Watch him.
Declan Rice and Szoboszlai.
There's no way you can watch a Szoboszlai game and watch a Palmer game and not say Palmer's the better player. You can't.
Based on what?
Your eyes, bro. Your eyes. Use your eyes.
Palmer plays more advanced.
Do you know what? Yeah.
Okay. What's your point? I said the better player. I didn't say anything about
him. I just don't know how.
Whilst he does play more advanced, he does have very good defensive traits. He's great at intercepting. He's great at pressing.
Szoboszlai is more influential in a football game than Palmer.
Palmer is way more influential than
Szoboszlai. You see how God didn't want you to say Palmer?
Listen.
He didn't want you to lie.
You see Palmer right now, yeah? It's like, you look at the way that he's come into this Chelsea team and really like, what has he changed in your opinion?
He's made us a better team in general. As I said, our passing, our ability to link midfield and attack, our ability to find players in the box. If you look at big chances created, Palmer's created so many big chances. We haven't got the players to finish off these chances.
Let me explain something to you. You see Chelsea. Chelsea are dropping into this same banter period that Arsenal are dropping into, and it's making you view your players in ways that we used to view like Coquelin in this type of way. When we didn't have a DM for so long and someone came in and he started, you know, making tackles and blah, blah, we used to think this guy's crazy. This guy's this, this guy's that. It's because you haven't seen it for so long. You've done the same thing with Felix last season, but all he was doing was expected dribbles and, you know, nice little step overs. And this, and what did he actually do? What did he contribute?
Let me land. All I told you is that if Felix was in a functional team, it would be fine. Don't talk about Felix.
Again, but he didn't play well for you guys. That's the reality.
He did.
He didn't. He did. Didn't. Oh, he did. My gosh, he didn't.
He was our best attacker.
Anyways, as I said, you think he played well because you guys haven't seen someone come into your team and do that for so long. So he came in and done a little bit. Yeah, cool, nice. You know, you done this, you done that, but you didn't really do too much. It's the same with Palmer right now. I feel like he's... Yeah, cool. He's creating a couple chances, you know, nice little flicks. He's playing nice in the number 10. But realistically, the bar is so low that he just looks so much better than what he actually is. You look at a game, who is it that you lot just lost to? Brentford. Yeah. The first half, very good.
He dictated everything in the first half.
Again, Felix done this last season. First half played very, very well. Second half completely ghosted and he missed the sitter. At the end of the day, you lost 2-0. So what did he really contribute to that game?
His job is to create chances.
His job is to score goals.
And they were not finished.
Okay.
Has he not done his job at that point?
Is his only job just to create chances?
That's his main job.
No, as a and to chip in with goals.
And he missed the sitter, yes.
These things can happen.
So let's... How about he makes some things happen instead?
He's made, you know, but he has. You're looking at one negative just compared to all of his positives.
Why do you think he's better than Declan Rice?
I've got a bias. I got a bias in this situation because I don't think Declan Rice has been deployed in the right position. So if you were assessing Declan Rice just on his defensive work, he's been excellent, absolutely excellent. But he's been played at eight, so I'm going to judge him on his attacking responsibility as well, and he hasn't done enough attacking wise for me to say that.
So you feel like Palmer at 10 is better than what you see in Declan Rice at 8?
100%. But Declan Rice is a better player, without doubt.
How many times has Palmer played 10?
10 on right wing.
How many times he played 10? Because you just said 10. He played there once. In a game where he lost 2-0.
Yes, go on.
You know, but he said he's been good at right wing as well. He just said that.
But then why can't we say Declan Rice at 6 as well then?
How many times he's played 6?
What do you mean? It's been split between the two. So how could you say number 10 when he's played there once and then Declan Rice,
I'm talking about Palmer as an attacker, right wing and 10. You know what I'm saying?
Why can't I use Rice as an 8 and a 6? I don't get He's been split between the two. He started the season as a number 6.
Two games.
What do you mean 2 games? It's people more than that. Games. What are you talking about?
When Partey was a right back, that's when he played a 6. As soon as Partey left,
okay, so we played Nottingham Forest, he played 6. Yep. We played Crystal Palace away, he played 6. We played Spurs at home, he played 6. That's already 3 for you off the top of my head.
It was all games with Partey, no?
No, they weren't actually. Partey didn't play against Spurs.
So with Spurs, you had Declan Rice. Who was the other two midfielders?
I think it was Vieira started that game and Odegaard. And then remember, Rice went off at halftime, Jorginho came on and we lost. Oh, well, we didn't lose, but felt like a loss, yeah.
Oh, guys are coming up to. I just want to say Van Dijk is the best centre back in the world again.
Oh, yeah, anyway. Okay.
How do we get here?
I don't think he is it yet, but it's only a matter of time. I'm just seeing all of the signs, yeah, that Van Dijk, again, is coming back for his throne as the best in the world. I think if you've watched Van Dijk this season, he's been fantastic. On the ball, fantastic.
Has he been better than Saliba this season?
Yes.
That's a lie.
No, he has. He has.
That's a lie.
He has. What's Saliba done better than Van Dijk this season?
What's Van Dijk done better than Saliba? Did you not see Saliba yesterday? Are you crazy?
Have you not seen Van Dijk in our game?
That performance against Newcastle was better than any game that Van Dijk has had this season.
Cap. Van Dijk's been...
How is that cap? That wasn't even his best performance.
Van Dijk's been a lot better. And then you think about it as well. And then you have to consider the credit Van Dijk has in the back.
No, no, but we're not talking about that. He asked you this season.
This season he's been better. That's all I asked.
Van Dijk. Van Dijk's been better.
Okay, so has Van Dijk had a game better than what Saliba had against Haaland?
Saliba had against Haaland.
No, that is the simple answer to the question. So forget this. Man. Like, don't answer your question.
I don't think Van Dijk is even top three defenders this season.
Oh, so who else is in the
top? I'll put Van der.
Are you gonna mention Thiago Silva?
Van der top of him.
And who else?
Let me think.
So you just said it. I had
Van der Ven in mind already.
He'd just be saying stuff, man.
Thiago Silva.
He'd just be saying stuff. Van Dijk is coming back for his throne as the best in the world. Like, maybe you can argue about this season, but when you think about the credit that he has in the bank, huh?
How can you say he's been better than any of the City centre-backs?
I think he has been, man. Them man don't stand out. When you think about
what's his standout performance though? Like, what's his claim to fame?
To be fair, he ain't had maybe a crazy performance, but he's just been consistently.
So how does that make him better than Saliba then? That's what I'm trying to understand.
What's Saliba's on City?
City and yesterday. You saw it both with your eyes.
Van Dijk is sounding like Shaw.
Yesterday, I don't think Saliba was crazy. I thought it was good.
What do you mean, bro? It's all right, man. It's cool.
Had a good performance.
It's a very good performance.
The City performance was excellent. But I don't think, well, what do you mean? What you say? What, just because he evaded pressure once?
Okay, so when has he been bad?
Huh? Saliba ain't been bad.
So how can you say he's been better than Van Dijk?
Bro,
huh?
So
Van Dijk's had one bad game.
That's one more than he had.
I said fair enough if you're saying that Saliba has been slightly better this season. But then you think about the credit that Van Dijk has in the bank. He's back as the best in the world. He is. Because the credit he has in the bank. We now say, no, because you have to.
Who's the best current defender in the world?
Overall, it's Van Dijk because Van Dijk has had that level where he was an all-time CB, looking like nobody could even touch him. So obviously, if he's now operating at a world-class level, he has to go back on the throne. Saliba has to do more to take Van Dijk off his throne.
That only works if this was Saliba's first season at Arsenal. We've seen Saliba for a whole season at Arsenal. He has credit in the bank as well.
Yeah.
So now we're judging him.
He don't have VVD credit in the bank, bro.
Based on the last 18 months,
it's enough time as well.
We can look at the whole of the past
Van Dijk has had one off season. He's back to where he is.
One?
So now, of course, he's the king.
But he's been fantastic.
I feel like this is coming out of nowhere. I don't even know where you're coming with this.
Because Van Dijk's been putting consistent 8 out of 10s this season. He's been fantastic.
I couldn't tell you one performance that said, "Oh my God, Van Dijk was good." I couldn't even give you a performance.
Bro. Could you have any performance where you think he's bad apart from the Newcastle? He's been 8 out of 10s, bro. He's been
that
smooth.
Doesn't make you better than Saliba, though.
He's been smooth, bro.
You can hold
Saliba. Ain't really done nothing that Van Dijk ain't done. Van Dijk's been sensational on the ball.
Okay, so now
sensational in duels.
I think
Van de Ven has been better than Van Dijk this season.
Well, because of what?
He's been a better player.
Well, what's he done?
He's very good defensively, and he's very good on all the things you're saying about Van Dijk.
Van Dijk actually defends the channel.
Van Dijk's been defending the channels this season, bro.
Barely.
He has. Have you watched us? He's been great.
Barely, bro.
If you ask any Liverpool fan, even any fan that watches Liverpool often, they'll say Van Dijk's been really good this year.
Yeah, really good, maybe. But you just called him the best in the world.
He is the best in the world again.
I think they're calling him really good because of his drop off. He's getting back to
It's the same thing that you just had with Palmer. Yeah.
No, I think he had his drop off. What he said about Palmer, there was no basis. It was embarrassing.
This
is actually something that's credible. No, I think what Jaden said was right. Because you guys are so bad, Palmer coming in has been a fresher life, meaning that you are inflating.
You're inflating how good he is.
Because you're literally just saying, there's someone who's keeping the ticket and playing properly.
When Chelsea get back to the level where they need to compete for titles, if they get back to that point, would you trust Cole Palmer as like your main man going for a league title?
No, he wouldn't.
Palmer's 21.
No, he wouldn't.
100%.
He wouldn't.
Without doubt.
You think Cole Palmer can take you to a Premier League? As your main man.
You see when this guy called Shabosulai baby KDB. This is the real baby KDB. Don't forget about that.
Let me tell you now. When Nkuku comes back here, you're going to be calling him R9 because he'll be better than Palmer. Anyway, and you'll get so gassed.
They will play together. They will play together.
So gassed.
They will play together.
Level, even though Nkuku will be good.
They will play together.
They'll be top class. No, we don't.
They will play together.
We're violating. It's 8-10.
They'll play together. Palmer right wing, Nkuku in the 10, Tony up top. Finish for you, man.
All right, cool. All right, guys. Thank you, fans, man. We'll be back next week.
This guy just called Palmer baby KDB.
He's not even similar, man. He's probably more like a David Silva.